The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, I'm back. I'm actually back. So don't, hopefully for some of you, that's maybe an answer to prayer. For some of you, maybe that's a denial of your prayer that, hey, I was kind of done with Steve. But I'm back now, back in the studio here in Raleigh, and had a great week off and a lot of family stuff going on, particularly over the weekend where we were celebrating my mother's life. She passed away at the end of January. So I'm going to, there's a lot of stuff to talk about there. A lot of lessons learned for me personally, but when I shared some things online, it seemed to touch a nerve and to help people kind of work through their own grief, especially when losing parents and things like that. And how do you deal with the past and how do you move forward out of that? For the glory of the Lord, for your own mental and emotional and spiritual health, there's a lot of things to talk about. I'll do that on Friday, but today had an opportunity to get back together with our friend Slavik, who's the president of the Ukrainian Baptist Theological Seminary there in Lviv, Ukraine. And we talked to Slav a couple of months ago. And obviously, truth be told, most of us here in America were like, oh, yeah, Ukraine, where we were talking about it all the time, front page, every website, every newscast, every talk radio show, wherever. Everybody had their Facebook profile pictures with the Ukrainian flag in the background. We all did that stuff. But as Americans, we typically move through things quickly. And so things have moved on here in America, but that certainly isn't true in Ukraine, which is why we're grateful for Slav to be back with us. How are you, my brother? Good to see you.
Thank you, Steve. I'm doing well. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of your show.
It's great to have you back and appreciate the opportunity to kind of get us re-engaged on the subject. And, you know, I don't know if that's unique to America, but it certainly is normal for America for us to just highlight something. It's like the candle that burns twice as bright burns half as long. And, of course, things in Ukraine are still bad and very frustrating and a lot of destruction, a lot of displacement. Belarus is saber-rattling. It looks like you're going to have some of that problem from the north. So let's back up a little bit, because you were not running a relief organization when this all started. You were running a seminary.
Yeah, that's true. On February 24, when war came to our home, we had to switch from being an educational institution into being a relief center and refugee center. So I call that phase as a reaction. So, you know, we did what we see, what we could possibly do, and we were serving everyone what we could possibly serve. Then within a little bit of time, I think after like 2 months, when there most 2.5 months, most of the traffic of refugees kind of slowed down going to Europe, then we moved to the phase that I call respond. So we start seeing the world around us and start kind of thinking, okay, what we really can do and how can we help, since we kind of survived the first wave of all that stress, and now, you know, we start thinking, okay, let's see. So now we start adding things like spiritual relief, emotional relief, trauma care, and things like that. And so we start expanding our relief into not only to just humanitarian things like food and bed to sleep, but also including taking care of people's soul. And I think that the third phase that is in front of us, we're not in that phase yet, is rebuild phase. Mm. And that's when we will be kind of putting together, you know, these pieces that we will have remaining from our country and from our home. And it's, you know, it's in Lord's hands. And I really hope that things will kind of come to the end. And I pray about that every single day.
Yes.
It comes to the end as soon as possible. But these are kind of three phases where we find ourselves. And we are still in the second. And I hope that in future we will transition into a third, what I call rebuild.
Yeah, and you mentioned that when we had you on a couple months back about just praying for a miracle for the war to cease, and we have not seen that yet, but we need to keep praying for that and praying for that every day. So don't get consumed by just what's going on here in America, everybody. We have brothers and sisters and people made in the image of God all over that region who are still suffering mightily and dying. And so what was the traffic like? Do you still have a lot of refugees coming into Lviv? You're there in the western part of Ukraine, right near the border of Poland and about 200 miles south of Belarus, as you mentioned earlier. But do you still have people showing up, Slav? And then what's that traffic been like? Because I remember when we talked to you, you had like, it sounded like 300 a day showing up.
That's correct. Yeah, we served more than 10,000 people at that time altogether. Now we don't have that much of people coming through Lviv or to Lviv because most of the traffic is gone. I think Ukraine has lost like 6 million people since that time. So most of the people are being evacuated to their closest biggest city like Dnipro or even Kharkiv or, you know, other cities that are close to their front lines. And only few of them make to Western Ukraine or make outside the country. So what we are doing right now is actually serving to what I call IDPs, internally displaced people. And the way we serve them is, you know, providing them with food, clothes, you know, hygiene things and things like that. What we're doing for that is actually using a network of students that we have. But as you mentioned, Steve, we don't really have a lot of people coming to Lviv or going to Lviv outside the country. Most of the people get into the closest possible city and then they sit there and wait when they can return their home.
Yeah, and so that's where the, as you were mentioning, the changing of the different phases here with rebuild, hopefully sooner than later, coming up. But in terms of just ministering to these people, I know ultimately when they were first showing up, you've got people that just have left everything. They have nothing. Mm-hmm. And so just meeting their material needs was front and center. But I would imagine that the spiritual opportunities, talk to us a little bit about just the spiritual nature of what's going on and kind of the spiritual environment of Ukraine in general. In America, you probably know this, we've got still have about 70% of Americans that will say, yeah, I'm a Christian. But when you scratch that surface and actually start seeing what they believe, how many people are actually biblical Christians is going to drop you down closer to like 10% people that actually know what it means to be born again and regeneration and actually understand that. But what it's like generally in Ukraine, spiritually speaking?
I think that, you know, the higher intensity of conflict, the closer people get to, you know, searching God. And I think that we are kind of on the top of intensity of the conflict that we're going through, which actually drives a lot of people to ask existential questions like, where's God in the midst of all that?
Yeah.
Why all that has happened?
Those are huge questions. Coming up on a radio break, hold that thought right there, Slav. We're talking to Slav, the president of Ukrainian Baptist Theological Seminary in Lviv, Ukraine. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble. Good to be back live here in Raleigh in the studio. We're here today with our brother way over on the other side of the globe, Slavik, who is the president of the Ukrainian Baptist Theological Seminary. That's in Lviv. Most of you have been hearing about Kyiv and Mariupol and all the other places in Ukraine, but you're also hearing about Lviv because 6 million people, which is about 60% of the population here in North Carolina, have moved over and out for the most part of Ukraine, and Lviv is over there on the western edge right before you go into Poland. And so that crushing tidal wave of humanity pushing west, and they need care and concern and immediate things because they left everything. Imagine just leaving your house because Raleigh or Winston-Salem or wherever you happen to live is being bombed literally and invaded. And so what are you going to take with you? Some clothes off and your kids and whatever, and you leave. And then you got nothing, literally nothing. And so you've got a situation, a humanitarian crisis there that's been going on since February 24th. But that's an ongoing situation. And then it changes. as people are not as many people are leaving, but now you have people that are displaced, and you have all kinds of other big issues, emotional issues, spiritual issues, mental issues, and you have to have somebody there on the ground to meet with these people and to minister to them. And that's exactly what Slav and his team over there are doing at the Baptist Theological Seminary in Lviv. And I guess this is a whole different level of education for all your seminary students. How many students do you have there, Slav?
Before the war, we had about 1,300 of them. So we graduated a couple hundred already, and we have another graduation scheduled for September to graduate another couple hundred people and hope to have new students. So we're planning to resume our activities, our operation this September. So we are kind of having we're expecting God to create another miracle, because I know that he's really good with making miracles out of these ordinary things.
Yes, amen. And so I would imagine, in terms of just ministering to these, literally, I think you mentioned about 10,000 people have come through. That's just kind of an all hands on deck, right? That's the staff, that's professors, that's you, that's students,
everybody.
That's
everybody. Yeah, we had a team of about 110 people all together, including staff and volunteers.
And how's that affected you guys at the seminary?
I mean, I think it expanded our horizons. So we started looking at life a little bit differently than we looked at it before. I think that we started being closer to people, you know, sharing their pain, sharing their lives. And it actually helped us to kind of think through and say, okay, well, what can we do at the seminary? Because since we're not a humanitarian agency, how can we create a platform that can serve them? And so we came up with the idea of what we call We Care Centers that we are launching in 5 cities already, and we're planning to launch another 15 cities by the end of this year. To enable our students and their churches to kind of collaborate and cooperate together, working for the benefit of the community, serving the needs of those people wherever they are located, and for us to provide them with help and resources that we received some of these resources from Southern Baptist, and especially from Send Relief.
Yeah, and you were mentioning during the break that you've got, you know, support coming from all over the world, about 40% of it from America, and then locally, and then all over Europe, and as far away as South Korea and Australia and other places, which is awesome. And I just put a link up. The easiest way to do it is just go to the main page, upfmissions.org. I just put the link up directly to the Ukrainian Partnership Foundation, upfmissions.org. There's all kinds of needs, and being a part of this is something, you know, I think most Christians that I know have had a burden about it to a certain extent. Certainly, hopefully praying about it and praying for the miracle that the war would just come to an end, because that's what has to happen eventually. But in terms of being involved in funding and helping you, what are the different ways we can get engaged? I think the easiest way for us literally is just to give money.
Yeah, on this stage, that's the only thing that you can do, because traveling to Ukraine is still very dangerous, and he's still, you know, suffering from missile attacks, and, you know, air raid sirens are kind of a common thing around here.
Man.
And, you know, you're not really safe anywhere around Ukraine, because missiles can come any moment, any time into any building you can be in. So that's still where we are. One of the things that, you know, that we're trying to do for next year, since our country is going to go through very difficult economical things, so we decided to actually not to charge our student tuition. Wow. And give them kind of a free year of studying. I mean, those that can pay for it, you know, they will be welcome to pay for it. But one of the things that we are sort of raising money or asking people to help us is to help Ukraine specifically in rebuilding leadership potential that we lost within the last few months. Because, as I mentioned before, we have more than 400 churches that lost their pastors.
Wow.
They either immigrated or just moved to other parts of Ukraine. But Ukraine has been devastated, not only materially, like buildings and, you know, and everything else, but also leadership and people is something that we lost quite a bit. And so we as the seminary, I think I see our main emphasis is how to rebuild that leadership that had been lost in the last 4 months.
Yeah, because God willing, this war will end sooner than later, and people will start coming back. And that's a huge influx of people, as you mentioned earlier, Slav. We're talking to Slav, who's the president of the Ukrainian Baptist Theological Seminary, and really want to encourage you and challenge all of you, every single person listening or watching today, go to upfmissions.org, UPF, Ukraine Partnership Foundation, upfmissions.org, and donate as much as you can, because this is something that's going into the future, because the country's being devastated. You mentioned you've traveled to Kyiv and other parts of the country to see things that I'm sure you've never seen before in your life. And that's what's waiting for you and for the church. It's a mission field already, but one of the most complex and difficult mission fields is out there on the horizon for you guys.
Yeah, so that's going to be one of the challenges, because, you know, I don't think that we even realize where we're going to be after all of that, because, you know, we have to remember that we are still in the midst of war.
Yeah.
And I think we're still braced for the war, but when the war will be over, I think all these trauma that we are experiencing right now is going to reveal itself, and that's going to, I think it's going to impact every single part of who we are and what we do. And I hope that God will give us enough strength to kind of handle through these challenges and difficulties that are waiting for us in the future, and be a light in the darkness and be a salt for this world. Because our mission is the same. Our calling is the same. And I just really, really hope that God will give us strength to use that opportunity that he put in front of us. And I don't think that we can do without your help, people in the States, and you've been faithful throughout years praying for former Soviet Union, praying for Ukraine, partnering with Ukraine. And I think, sadly, or maybe not sadly, you get another opportunity to be a part of something that God is doing.
That's right. Well, I wish the opportunity didn't exist, obviously, but it does. And God will receive more glory for it, and the kingdom will be built for it. And that's just one of the difficult realities of life here on a fallen planet. And again, remember, everybody, 400 pastors, 400 churches are now without their pastors, Baptist churches there in Ukraine, because the pastors have left because of the war. So we have a lot of things to sow into and to help as we continue to talk to Slav. He's the president of Ukrainian Baptist Theological Seminary, upfmissions.org. Slav, we'll have you back on as soon as we can. We'll do whatever we can. We'll keep praying for you. Thank you, brother. Welcome back. It is Steve Noble. Good to be back in the studio here in Raleigh, North Carolina. Kind of a whirlwind last week out in Washington, D.C. for a few days with my father-in-law and our youngest daughter, Caroline. That was great. Had some great things there. I'll share about that on Friday. And then a big kind of family reunion of sorts as we did a final memorial for my mother, who went to be with the Lord at the end of January. She was 90, and my dad passed away 3 years ago at 91. And so we had just an incredibly rich time. A lot of things I want to talk to you about that, reflecting and what do you do with the past of parents and the good, the bad, and the ugly, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and just a lot of things about family in general and traditions. I'm going to talk about that on Friday. But we started off the show today in Ukraine with Slav, who's the president of the Ukrainian Baptist Theological Seminary, jumping back here locally to just one of the most incredible Christian organizations in North Carolina that I've known for years, the Durham Rescue Mission. It's really been amazing to see God plant it and grow it. And it continues to grow. It's really amazing over the years, everything that's gotten done there, and the Mills family. And Rob Tart is now president of the Durham Rescue Mission, and this is a great event going on this week. Another opportunity for us to put some feet to our faith and get involved with a great mission here locally at the Durham Rescue Mission. Rob, how are you, man? Thanks for calling in.
I'm doing great. Thanks for the opportunity here, Steve.
You're very welcome. It's great to have you on, and I've known Ernie for years, and it's just been the first time I found out about the Durham Rescue Mission was probably 20 years ago when I first started getting involved in ministry stuff at all. And to go over there and see the campus and to see from such humble beginnings of what God has done, is that has just been truly remarkable. How did you get involved with the mission there, Rob?
Well, I came on the mission 27 years ago. And I was graduated from seminary and didn't know what to do. And my pastor that I grew up under in Fayetteville knew Ernie Mills, and he connected us, and I've been here ever since serving.
Wow, it's just, and from the inside looking out, do you Do you still have a chance to kind of have a perspective? I mean, it's an enormous campus. It's amazing what all's going on there now. But to see it come out of the ground and start from literally just a little building to what it is now, it's got to be pretty amazing for you personally.
Yeah, yeah. When I came in 95, there was about, in the summertime, I came in August of 95, it was pretty warm still. And even then, we get more people when it's cold.
Yeah,
we probably had 35 people in the summer and would get 50 or 60 in the winter. Now we're running regularly 350, 400. So, I mean, it's just a completely different,
No, not at all. And it's amazing how many different things and, you know, a completely different place for women and children and the main campus. But let's talk about specifically the back to school event that's going on this Thursday, because that's a great outreach and a tremendous need and another opportunity for us. You know, I think a lot of us are pretty myopic with our Christian lives. There's my church and the things that we do at my church. But this is something in our backyard. And whether you live in the Triangle area or not, this is a great opportunity for all of us. But tell us about kind of what happens at the back to school event this Thursday and the history of that.
Well, Ernie Mills started this right after the Columbine incident, and he heard about the, you know, the motives, if you will, of those two young men that went into the school and did what they did. And he thought, well, what can we do to help prevent that? So we want to make sure every child that we can has the basic needs of life, and just hopefully that they will not be picked on and bullied and you know, driven to darkness in a way that we perceived those young men were. And so we, ever since then, we've been giving away book bags and clothing and groceries and anything we can. But our objective is to make sure any child in this community has everything that they need. They can walk around proudly at school with a very nice book bag and hopefully some nice clothes. We try to give away nice clothes on this day. And I would just try to make for a great fun experience for the kids that do come, that they will have games, prizes, different treats. And we'll be giving away things like some TVs and some bicycles for the kids. And it's usually a great festive time.
Yeah. How many kids generally are you able to minister to? And by the way, I just put the link up for Facebook and YouTube. But if you want to just go online yourself, just go to DurhamRescueMission.org. You'll see the information right at the top, DurhamRescueMission.org. But how many kids will generally benefit from this?
It's usually around, you know, it depends on the day and the weather that day. But usually 2,500, 3,000 bags will be given away that day. So we're always excited about it. We present the gospel to them as well. We don't just come and give away the baskets. You know, we also have an opportunity to present the gospel to everyone that comes through. We give them some literature, and we just try to, again, just try to have a fun time with them. One of the greatest things is just seeing the volunteers come. We like to have around 400 volunteers to show up, and the volunteers come, and they just participate, and it's just a fun festive time. I can't really explain it to you. You almost got to come to see it. And I wish everybody would.
I've been to one, and it's like going to a carnival, basically. There's kids everywhere.
Right.
There's tons of activity. There's food. There's everything going on. It's really pretty remarkable to see, because I went over once a couple of years ago. It's probably 5 or 6 years ago. Because I've done the show there a couple of times, and to see all that and the activity and all these kids who, you know, Durham, like any city, has lots of problems and lots of challenges, and it's really amazing when the church kind of reaches into the community there. And God has given you guys tremendous favor with the city of Durham too, hasn't He?
Yeah, you know, the people in this community are just wonderful people. They always donate and help us to get these book bags together. And the volunteers that show up are always wonderful, and the churches that support us are just fantastic. And we do all we can to reach out and to connect with the churches in the area. We love to go to the churches and present the rescue mission and take our choir and sing and share with, you know, what we do here at the rescue mission. We're more than just an event where we help kids with book bags. We're actually a homeless shelter. And where we try to help people to restore their lives. And so we try to make it known to the churches what we're trying to do as well.
Yeah, and that's where it's obviously a community effort. But in terms of, given the fact that it's just a couple days away, it's this Thursday, July 14th, there at the Durham Rescue Mission, durhamrescuemission.org. How can people get involved? Obviously, we want to donate. We want to be a part of that so that we can help fund backpacks and in the backpacks, you know, with pens and colored pencils and markers and glue sticks, all the things that kids need in a backpack to go off to school. But what types of things can we do to help this week?
Well, there's a couple of things. One, if you, we still need some volunteers, particularly at 6:30 in the morning. We still need a few more early in the morning. If they would just call our number and ask for the volunteer department, or they can go online to our website and click on the volunteer. But we can always use some volunteers. Secondly, if you know of a child, you know of someone in this area, we do not screen them. You know, there's, you know, one of the terrible things that happens when you give away things is that people will start screening, asking what income, and all this stuff. It's very demeaning, and it's very, I don't know, it's just not a fun process for people to go through, and people that are struggling, you know, it just makes it harder for them. So we don't do that. All we ask is that you listen to a little bit about the gospel from us. If you hear the gospel, you know, and everybody's going to be there hearing the gospel. So that's the only criteria we have. And so, but the point being is that we, if people want to invite people to come to the community event, that is probably the biggest thing. We want to make sure that every child within any means that we can get to them has what they need to go to school. And we picked this day this year. We normally have it in August. This time we're having it in July because so many kids are going to year-round school today.
Right.
And we were missing those kids by looking at the traditional calendar in the past, and a lot of the kids would be in school and couldn't get out here. So we picked a day when both calendars are out. And this is about the only day we could find.
Wow.
So this is the day we picked, and if you know some kids that could use something, and they don't have to be in the Durham County Schools, they could be, you know, anywhere. Just we want to help children.
Yeah, just to get over there, and no matter where they live in the area. And that's something, you know, the nice thing today, one of the few nice things anymore about social media, is it's a pretty easy way for all of us to share. So that's why I put the links up directly to the page in the DurhamRescueMission.org page that you can go to and then share that and just let people know, hey, if you have some families that their kids need help with some school supplies, then this is a great opportunity for them. But, I mean, what are some of the other things that are just the environment there, Rob, if you can tell us about that. And then if you can stay through the break, I'd love for you to just kind of tell us more about the mission in general and all the different programs that are going on there, because I really want to take this opportunity since we have you to educate people. But in terms of this Thursday, July 4th, starting at 10, what are all the different things kids will be able to do while they're there?
Well, we're going to have inflatable slides and things for people to be here. We're going to have snow cones. We're going to have lots of candy, things they probably shouldn't eat. But we'll be serving a meal. I think it's barbecue and hot dogs we'll have out here. And we're going to be giving away clothing. That's another big thing, is that we want to make sure that the kids have clothing. It is used clothing. We don't have new clothing for the children.
Yeah.
But, you know, I tell people all the time, you can go to our thrift stores. I'm spoiled at our thrift stores, because you go into a Belk, you know, you're looking at a shirt for $90, and I'm looking at them and saying, man, in our thrift store, I got the same shirt for four. Well, I mean, there's some nice clothing that people donate for whatever reason.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, I'm wearing some at the moment. But the point being is that we do our best to put some good clothing out there for the kids. Again, we don't want them to go there and to be, go to school and to be made fun of.
That's right.
And to be picked on and bullied. But it's just a great, fun time event. We try to make it as fun as we can.
That's awesome. We're talking to Rob Tart, who is the president of the Durham Rescue Mission. We're going to keep talking about the mission. We'll go into what all the different activities, everything that the Lord is doing there to help these people. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show here back in town. Good to be back from some vacation and some family time. I'll talk about that more on Friday, but I'll be being here today, or maybe not Friday. I think I'm going to do that actually on Monday. I'm Michelle Woodhouse, who's been on the show many, many times, dear sister in the Lord. Great political activist. She lives out in Western North Carolina. She's going to be in town Friday. And I'm just trying to train up a few guest hosts out there. Matthew Winslow was on last week, a dear brother in the Lord, a great supporter of the show. And he came in and he guest hosted for me last week and did a great job. And I appreciate that he had his wife on and they were talking about counseling for Christian couples. A lot of us are like, you know, I don't want to talk about that stuff, but it can be a huge blessing. And God gives many teachers out there to help us in different ways. So that was great. I really appreciated Matthew doing that. And then Michelle will be in here on Friday to do the show, and she's got a great heart for the Lord. She's tough. Really knows the political environment and what's our place in that. And now that we come out of a primary, how do you deal with Republicans, if you're a Republican, most of you are, that you don't like? Or you're like, they're not really a Republican. They're a rhino, all that kind of stuff. So she'll be here in the studio on Friday. Guest hosting for me. And so I'm just training up a couple of guest hosts to help in the future, which is great. I appreciate that. But today, talking in the second half of the show to Rob Tart, who's the president of the Durham Rescue Mission, going all the way back. The Durham Rescue Mission, founded in November of 1974 by Dr. and Mrs. Ernie Mills, with one goal in mind: to mend shattered lives by restoring families and giving hope in Durham, Raleigh, and Chapel Hill for the glory of God, and always willing and bold in sharing the gospel. Meet people with their felt needs and their physical needs, but that all falls away when all of us gets to the end of our life. We know that it's appointed for men to die once and then face the judgment. And so if you're not ministering to people's eternal needs, only their temporal needs, you're not really loving them well. And the Durham Rescue Mission does all of that, which is just fabulous and has since 1974. Again, Rob, thanks so much for your time today. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. So tell us, just kind of give us a tour through all the different things. Obviously, you have the back to school rally this Thursday starting at 10 a.m. And they definitely still need volunteers. You can still donate to be a part of that. And early in the morning volunteers, but that's when it's going to be the nicest on Thursday. The weather looks pretty good for you guys on Thursday. It doesn't look like rain, about 89 degrees and cloudy. So that'll help. That's great. So volunteers and donations still, you can go to the DurhamRescueMission.org website. But tell us about the different programs that are there for men and women and families.
Yeah, well, the Rescue Mission here, we're essentially a homeless shelter. Now, I don't really care for that term, homelessness.
You know, yeah.
The problem so often isn't a lack of homes. It really is a kind of a social problem. When I say social, I mean we like to say it's a lack of affiliation. People that are often in the throes of addiction or have mental issues or some other thing, they become experts at destroying relationships. And if you don't have affiliation, if you don't have relationships, you know, we all have financial problems, we all have health problems. But some people seem to survive those things. Some people seem to fall through the cracks. And I think it's my opinion, and I think most of our opinion here, that the biggest issue is just the lack of affiliation. And, of course, everything begins with the relationship to Jesus Christ. And then so we are trying to teach men and women and children how to have a relationship with Jesus Christ and what that means for their relationships outside of that, you know, with their wife, their spouse, and their children. And that's our approach to homelessness and to addiction. You know, so many times when people are addressing addiction, which is the big bugaboo here with why so many people are here,
sure,
they're often focusing on the actual vice, and they're fighting the vice. And you know, I tell people all the time, I don't know if you figured this out or not, but when you come to fight in your flesh, you're not going to win. You know,
that's right.
It's just too strong, you know. And what we have to do is we have to rest in Christ and have a relationship with Christ. And God fights our battle. And I think that's the difference so often between the Christian approach and the non-Christian approach to this issue. And but we offer so many other programs as well. We have some education opportunities. We have vocational training opportunities. And we actually have our own employment agency where we get our people jobs through.
And that's a pretty amazing aspect, because again, and I appreciate you saying, you know, when you say to homeless people or just homeless sounds like hopeless, and you're right. Like, okay. And I really appreciate that lack of affiliation. Most of us, I did this once in a Sunday school, adult Sunday school class I taught years ago, Rob. And I said, okay, God says he'll provide for all of our needs. I think a lot of us shake our heads because we confuse our needs with our wants. And I just set up a scenario. I said, okay, let's say the Noble family, our house burns down, no fault of our own. We kind of lose everything. We got to start from scratch. We have insurance. Okay, great. But we have nowhere to live and we need some food and we just get up back on our feet. Would anybody in here help us out? And it was a big class. It was like 80 people in there. And all these hands go up. I said, okay, don't game the system here. This isn't a morality, Christianity check. Literally, would you literally help us? And all these hands go up. I said, okay, so I don't have to worry about that because, to your point, Rob, we had a ton of affiliation. We had all kinds of friends and brothers and sisters in Christ that would be willing to sacrifice. Then I upped the ante a little bit and I said, okay, what if I train wrecked my business? I had a small business at the time. What if I just mismanaged it? I did a lousy job. I blew it up and now I'm unemployed. So it's my fault. And we lose our house. I don't pay the mortgage, yada, yada, yada. How many of you would help us out at least for a little while? And once again, there were all these hands, and I'm like, are you sure you would? I mean, I messed it up. And they're like, yeah, we'll forgive you. You got to get a job. You got to make sure you're trying to recover. But, yeah, we got your back. And that's affiliation. I can't even imagine a point in my life, Rob, where I didn't have that. But with these folks coming there, that's a huge problem. I'm so glad you mentioned that.
It is the problem. And it is amazing here. Like, some of the worst time here, really, is Thanksgiving and Christmas, you know. Because, man. I mean, they literally, so many men here and women, they just have nowhere to go at Christmas, no one to be with here at Christmas. And if anybody wants to come to have a special Christmas, you need to come to the Durham Rescue Mission for Christmas. Because, I mean, there's people here who would love to appreciate this and share Christmas.
Tell us about the Victory Program, because I know that's been a whole 12 months holistic, like you were talking about, to kind of help with addiction, help spiritually, but to rebuild a life. What are the different aspects of that?
Well, it's a 12-month program that's broken in two phases. The first phase is the classroom phase, and the second phase is where we actually have them get a job through our temp agency.
Wow.
And so in the first six modules, we call them modules, but it's four-week sets of classes, and each day they're in class for like 4 hours a day. But it says someone comes in the fourth module, they'll go 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3. And so every 4 weeks, there's a window in or a window out. And so they go through this, essentially it's a Bible Institute, where we're training men and women in the Word of God and how to live and how to build relationships and how to interact with people. And we're really giving them life skills, but it's life skills from a biblical perspective. And we are addressing the sinful nature of men and the flesh and how to live without that vice that's so besetting them so often.
Yeah, and then also just kind of on the street level stuff with personal finance and work ethics and how to interview. I mean, this is all life skills, right?
Yeah, we do that. We actually have a Toastmasters class too to try to teach men how to speak and how to interact, and so we're trying to go at it holistically, and to equip them. And it's amazing when men will embrace what we have to offer. Mm. We just had a guy, and this is no joke. We just had a guy this past May graduate from Duke University. And
did you guys see that potential in him when he came there, or is that kind of out of left field?
No. When he told, see, he had been to Duke before,
wow.
And when I first met him, and he told me that he had attended Duke 10 years earlier, whatever it was, and that's the whole amazing story how they let him in there. I thought to myself, you know, he's just lying.
Roll your eyes.
But it was true, and somebody over there gave him a second chance, and they gave him another scholarship, and
that's amazing.
It's amazing. But, yeah.
Well, the one thing I noticed the last time I was over there, Rob, and I'm sure this is still the case, is that a lot of people that are on staff at the rescue mission started off coming to the rescue mission.
Oh, yeah. Even one of our VPs, we had three VPs. One of our VPs was a client here. And well over a third of our staff is a former client.
Wow.
And it's growing. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you've got your own employment agency, so you should be able to fill your own slots as people come through. And that, what a great environment that is. What's your favorite thing about being there at the mission for all these years, Rob?
It's Thanksgiving. Mm. It's Thanksgiving because when people come at Thanksgiving, we don't give away book bags. We don't give away toys. We don't give away anything. We just have a Thanksgiving meal and a time of fellowship and a time of thankfulness. And the people that come to the Durham Rescue Mission on Thanksgiving are some of the most lonely people in this world.
Wow.
And it is the most special day of the year for us, in my opinion.
Yeah, and that's what I was mentioning to folks on Facebook and YouTube during the break, that it reminds me of James, who's basically saying, you know, you want to verify the veracity of your faith. Are you ministering to people like you guys are ministering to on a regular basis? Is it a regular part of your life? And for most of us, truth be told, it isn't. But having something like the Durham Rescue Mission in our own backyard here in the Triangle is a great opportunity to turn that around. DurhamRescueMission.org this Thursday, starting at 10 a.m. Get the word out about that on social media. I got the links up there on the Facebook page, and you can still volunteer. They need volunteers. You can always give, but you can do that throughout the year. And then let's all think about getting there for Thanksgiving. That would be awesome as well. Rob Tart, president of the Durham Rescue Mission, thank you, my brother, for your time today. We appreciate you.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. We'll do it again. That was Rob Tart, Durham Rescue Mission, DurhamRescueMission.org. Wow, isn't that amazing? It's their favorite day of the year is Thanksgiving, where you have the loneliest people showing up who have nothing. Most of us have way more than we need, and they have nothing. We should all deeply consider where we're going to spend some time this Thanksgiving, myself included. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.